Kids, welcome back to another exciting episode of No Subs, No Dubs. I'm your host, Casey Kidd, the Kamikaze Kid. No intro bit this time, Baka Boy. Baka Boy's my producer over there. I'll point at him real quick. If you can see that. Oh, that's Baka Boy. He's checking the levels. Checking it twice. Making sure which level's naughty or nice, I guess. I don't know. And he basically pulls out his hair, doesn't speak, and just listens in and points a lot. And that's Baka Boy's situation. Intro bit. No Subs, No Dubs. The podcast where I, your host Casey Kidd, I watch a foreign flick or an international movie, if that makes you feel all comfortable. And I watch it without the subtitles, without the overdubbing. And I guess what happens. I tell you what I think happens, and that's the show. Let's stop it there. That's a good intro. That's what we should do every single time, don't you think? What do you mean? Okay. One, two, three. Hey, kids, welcome back to another You were fucking with me. Oh, my God. Baka Boy. All right, where are we? I will just get to the intro. Wow. This week I watched Visitors from the Arcana Galaxy, a 1981 Yugoslavia movie, Croatia, something like that. I think it was that, then it became something else. Like there was a country one time, and then now it's a new country. I don't want to be insensitive to people. I don't know the history. All I know is that it really ruined my Croatia crabbing jokes. I was going to be like, Croatia, croats, crabs. That's all I know about Croatia. They're crab people. They get crabs and they eat crabs and they sell crabs. And I find out it's actually Yugoslavia. And I'm like, well, that fucking ruins my joke. So there you go. Visitors from the Arcana Galaxy. All right. This movie was weird. So let's get into some of the weirdness. Let's see what this movie did. You start out with a spaceman. He's all looking around. You got the space music. You got the titles going. And there's a beep. That was going to be bad. I'm not going to try to do the music. It's mostly synths. Piano pieces. The music's actually pretty good. If I want to get all spacey and wear my astronaut helmet and record into a recording device, I might want to listen to the space music on this. I could get down with that. Maybe I'd do a better job podcasting if I had a helmet on. We see the writer. This is R. I think his name's Roberti, something like that. Robert, whatever. R, okay? And he's got B with him. That's Biba. Biba's his you know, squeeze, his chick, right? But she's fed up with the spaceman shit because he's narrating. He's talking into his recorder. And he's talking about Arcana Galaxy. And I'm not very good with voices, so this is going to be a struggle. But he's talking about his story, his space opera. And B's like, just fucking A. She has to go to her home to see her sisters and her mom and her, I think, grandpa, who's blind, who plays the accordion. That's all he does, which is hilarious. He goes, all right. So she's fed up with this. She's like, you got to drive me over to this place. And then one of their neighbors, this old lady with like a mustache, she comes in and she's like, my dog. And he's just trying to space out, you know? And he's like, okay, get away from me, mustache lady. I'll take you, B, and we'll go to your family house. So they go to the house, and B does her stuff over there. It's not really that interesting. Let's get back to Robert. Rob, are, he's in the car. So he doesn't even go in the fucking house. Think about that. He drove her over there just to sit in the car. And you go, why, what, just, how is this, what, why didn't she just take the car, right? I don't know, he has a smoke, he's waiting for her, she's doing stuff, she talks to one of her sisters who has big old headphones on, that's how I remember that one, and she opens up her, you know, she takes one headphone off, and it's like blaring music, and I'm like, she's gonna be deaf by the end of this movie, what are you doing? I was like, okay, it's whatever. So R's outside smoking, you know, taking a break in the car, wishing he was in space. And he talks to some guy. He talks to the guy about a space opera. And I don't remember, that might have been Photo Tony. I'll get into Photo Tony later. It might have been just some random guy. Okay. Now we go back home. So they go there for Robert to take him all the way back home. And then he's back in his fucking helmet. And he's like, in the groove, spacing it up like you do. I'm like, all right, I get this. You gotta have your time. There's some pleasant spacey music going on, and he's talking into his recorder, and he puts the recorder down, and then it pings back, and it's like, haha, there's someone on the other side. He goes, holy smokes, and it's a space lady talking to him. The space lady tells him, you need to go to this island. It's secluded, but you're going to be safe. He's like, all right. Okay. I'll go to a secluded island. But I got to get some keys for my boat. So that's when he talks to Photo Tony, his neighbor. And you know it's Photo Tony because it says it on the door, right? Like, okay, this is Tony. Photo Tony. And Photo Tony's like, is the keys to the boat, bro. And they're like, all right. So he drives the boat over to the secluded island, because why wouldn't you? You get some strange voice shooting over your recorder saying like, hey, come to this island. You're going to be good. And he's like, sounds great to me. So he goes to the island. He goes for a nice little walk. It's very picturesque, foresty. It's pretty. I'll say that about it. He gets to this hotel or a hospital. It's an abandoned place, and he spies on the smoking guy in there. So it's like abandoned, but there's this one guy and he's smoking, and there's like a TV. You're like, okay, how they got a TV out here? And this guy seems interesting. That's when he gets touched. So he gets like that. Did that pick up? He gets touched very lightly. That's a space lady touching him. He turns around and there's an orb. And he follows the orb, and the orb goes down in a cave and rocks. So he goes spelunking. Then he gets shot at by lasers. Okay, so he's kind of in a cave in a secluded island, and lasers come at him. And then we look up, and we see Space Lady, Conehead Space Lady, 1981. I don't know, Conehead's come out before this or after this? Or is that just a trope for the space people? This is a very weird movie when you think about it. This guy's got his head up in the clouds. B's like, boy, you better come down. He's like, no, I'm all into space. And then he's with this good-looking chick who refuses to wear a bra through this movie. And she gets naked later, or tries to anyway. And he looks at this space woman. Spoiler alert. Oh, spoilers this whole time. I'm sorry. That should have been self-evident. God damn it. Well, anyway, the space lady's there, and he's like, I'm into you. And there's also two space kids. So her space brats, right? They're like android alien kids and android alien lady. And I'll give it to her. She's got bigger boobs. Fair enough. B doesn't have the big boobs, and she wants to go to her family house and drag him along just so he has to sit in the car. Annoying. But she doesn't shoot lasers at him. She doesn't do some sort of weird orb thing. And there's also this part where the boy kid, he throws an alien pet toy down at him, And it's like one of those tiny toys that just does that kind of thing. And it gets all big and it's giant. And R's like, holy shit. So he runs for his boat. He runs fast as hell. He gets to his boat. And the girl kid shoots a follow orb at him. He's in the boat hauling ass. And the orb just like follows the boat and stuff. And R, he decides to jump out of the boat because he's like, I'd rather drown. Okay. And then he gets back into his boat and the orb's gone and he drives back to his town. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So all that to say, this alien lady and her two kids, and there's that situation. And there's B and this writer dude, this Robert dude, right? He's like, I'm into the lady. I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Whatever gets you off, dude. So, Rob R, he goes to a shrink. I think he's talking about this situation. He's like, I went to a secluded island, dude. All right, Doc. You gotta call him dude. You gotta be professional, right? I was like, Doc, I went to the secluded island. What? After I heard the recorder speaking back to me to come to the secluded island. I went to this hotel that was like deserted. It was creepy. I saw a guy smoking. Then I got touched and I followed the touch because there's an orb and then I got lasers shot at me. And the shrink's like, yeah, that's all pretty much normal. Tell me about your dreams. And then R's like, all right, I had this dream. I was a baby or I had a baby. I think I was a baby in it. I don't know. And there was no milk. And my father was there. And he grabs the milk and the milk falls and breaks. He's like, oh no, there's no milk. But then he looks and he sees he's got boobs. He's like, ah, I've got boobies. So he picks up me as the baby. Or maybe I'm picking up the baby. I couldn't tell. This looked like either R's father or him himself. But he's got tits now. He picks up the baby. He's like, feed. Like, oh, God. All right. That happened. But they didn't, like, it didn't seem to be done for laughs. It seemed to be done straight up. And I'm watching, I'm going, what the fuck? Okay. All right. This is a cursey episode, by the way. I've already cursed way too much. B is either going to bleep all the shit out or he's going to leave every single bit in. I have no idea. All right, so that's the baby thing. Then there's a bookstore scene. There's this like book that shows up at the shrink's place, right? And R's like, oh, there's a book right there. It's all magic and, you know. He goes to a bookstore and he talks to some guy, Mr. Long Mustache is what I wrote. And he's got the book that he got at the shrink's place that appeared magically after he talked about his dream about being a baby or having a baby and feeding the baby from his man tits. It was weird. Okay? So he's at this bookstore and Mr. Long Mustache goes, what's in that book? And they open it up and it's blank pages and they're like, whoa, you know? And you're going, well, it's more the manifestation of a book is the weird part, but okay. I don't know. Okay, basically, there's a little bit of a pause there, but I was reading my own notes. So the bookstore thing happens, and I put R at work, boring. R at home, boring. It was. And then there's another transmission. And he's like, that secluded island, you know? And there was a cool, like, there's only one camera shot where it's like, oh, that was pretty neat. And it was the reflection of Rob in the helmet. And I was like, ah, oh. But it wasn't mediocre. Like, the camera work was, someone was capable, you know? It didn't draw attention to itself, but in a good or a bad way. But that was a kind of good way. Okay, moving on. R goes to the hairdressers because B's there. Biba. Okay, I think she's a hairdresser. I can't be too sure, but I think she might be a hairdresser. She just likes being at the hairdressers. She has her pokies out. Now, yeah, I think that's the only thing I noticed in that, where it's like, she's not wearing a bra. I like this lady. Is that a European thing? A Yugoslavian thing? Is that something they do in Croatia? It's like, bras are too tidying. They're not freeing. You gotta wear a bra sometimes, ladies. If your body type or the sag, well, it's like I wear a jock strap because that's just for everybody else's benefit. I don't need my long, squishy balls going out there. You know what I mean? Where I'm wearing shorts, you gotta tuck them in. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's get away from this aside and let's go into what happens in this stupid movie. I'm 2 pages into my notes. I'm just going to skip that. They go back to the island, okay? Now, let's switch. That's the rustling of the notes, not my jimmies just yet. They go into the island. I wrote, it's the into the rocks, into the cave. And when I say they, I mean R&B. Robert brought Biba this time along. So they go further in the caves. And R's like, no, I heard a transmission. Let me tell you what happened, B. And she's like, okay. I'm sick of the spaceman crap. I'm not wearing a bra. You can just lift off this shirt and take me here now. He's like, no, you don't understand space. I saw this cone head lady and her two hell spawn. And I'm into it. And I want you to see. And she's like, okay. So they go into the cave. And he's explaining the story. He's like, the transmission. Then I was told to go to this secluded rock. And then go into the caves like we're doing now. Then I saw an orb, just like that orb. And they see an orb. And then in the orb, there's that smoking man. Remember the smoking man in the hotel that was weird? Right? He's like shirtless. And he's getting tortured. And there's a space lady and the kids there. And I'm like, okay. And they remove his heart. I'm like, what the fuck? You're still in on this. You're still going with it, dude. Okay. All right. R tries to touch the orb. But it explodes a little, I think. The dead man disappears. The smoking man. The aliens are not too happy about this. The alien lady touches her stomach and the orb is back. So she touches her own stomach and the orb just comes back and it's like, that's how it works. The orb floats away. They like try to touch it again because R's like, I gotta get in that orb. I wanna get tortured like that smoking guy. It floats away. It deflates. There's talking. B runs. Biba's like, I'm out of here. And there's eye lasers, and she becomes a cube. She becomes a tiny cube. They shoot lasers from their eyes to turn a human into a cube. And R's all for this. He's like, okay, I'm putting the cube in my pocket. Because the lady goes over to the cube, the alien lady, alien android robot thing. She goes over to Cube, picks it up, and gives it to Robert. And she's like, R, this is your cube. And he's like, this was Biba. And she's like, yeah, now she's a cube. Here you go. And he puts it in his pocket and says, thank you. There's some more talking. And it seems like the kids are like, we don't like this R fella. You should turn him into a cube too. But the mom, the alien mom's like, look, I'm single. I need this. I need this human to get with me. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then it's like, all right, well, I got to take this cube back to her family. And then one thing I wrote here is the alien says contact. And you're like, ah, okay, I know that word. I think it means the same in Croatian or Yugoslavia. Vien. As it does in American. Already pretty close to the end of this. There's a lot of flipping around. Baka boy, cut all that shit out. Let's continue. There's this weird finger come off thing. You gotta just watch the movie at this point. It's hard to explain. The kids and the alien mom all have this weird dynamic. The kids fuck with the mom and take off part of her finger. And then she grows it back. And then she demands that they put out their hands like they're in Catholic school. And then she whips them with a laser whip. And you're watching and going, okay, what? And it's like, nope, that's just how it goes. And you're like, okay. And then Rob R, he's like, I'm going back to the mainland with my cube. Okay. And he gets to the mainland and I guess Biba's mom is there waiting for him. She's like, where's B? And he brings out a cube and he's like, look. She hits it from his hand. He's got an open palm and the cube goes into the water in the ocean or the sea or whatever the fuck they got over there. The lake. All right, goes into the lake and into the water. And ours, of course, like, Biba, you know, freaking out. And the mom's like, you're insane. And I was like, all right, I believe he's a little insane. And the next thing it cuts and it's like the diver's in there. The diver's trying to get the cube out of the water. And he comes back up and he's like, is this it? And he's like, is that a cube? That doesn't look like a cube. And he's like, all right, fuck, dude. Go back in. And he comes back out and he's like, I've got the cube. And then there's one of the sisters. I think it's the sister with the headphones on. She's there. And they go into a room with the cube and Biba. Excuse me. They go into a room. It's him, the mom, I think, the sister. And the sister's like, I will cut this cube, and comes out with some sort of cutting device, and like, don't do that. They put the cube down, and like, just don't cut it, you know, that's going to turn into Biba maybe. And then after that conversation, immediately, Biba's there. Next, we have a restaurant scene. This is kind of a short little part of it, but pretty much what happens is, a kid finds the finger that was removed from the alien lady, finds this finger and runs into this restaurant and runs into the kitchens and has this finger and is like, look at this finger, and puts it in a meat grinder and grinds it into the meat. And there's a bunch of people there and there's Photo Tony there and he takes a picture of it after it's been meat ground up and turns into sparkles. Okay. And the kid gets hit in the back of the head by the chef because the chef's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's the sparkle finger. And that's in my meat. I can't feed these people sparkle finger meat. What is wrong with you, boy? So that happens. And then everyone's like, there's something weird going at that secluded island. We're going to send our Navy boys over there. So the Navy boys go over to the island. It's just a group of guys in a raft and they've got spear guns with tridents on them and they're driving over they're boating over to the island, right? And they get their fucking Russells jimmied. I'll tell you that. They get like shot at with lasers and stuff because the aliens won't have it. And they get shot at. And then what's really interesting is their spears don't do anything. I don't think they even come close. So they all, like, abandon ship. They all abandon this little raft and start swimming. And I'm sure it's pretty decent far away, but they swim the entire, like, little channel. You know, they swim the whole way back. It's like, okay, that's pretty impressive. The next thing is this lady, she sees what happened. She's like, our military can't do anything. I'm like, that's your military? Four guys in a raft with trident spears? Okay. That's how you're going to play it. And she's like, yes, that's our military. And she's telling everybody, this is not good. We need to go to the island. So they all take boats to the island. Everybody photo Tony, all the women, all these men. They all go to this island in this cave and they start undressing. And they're like, we're going to get naked time now. They get naked. So if you got children, you don't want them to watch like people get naked for no reason. Don't have them watch this. I think it's like we tried war. Now we're going to try to fuck our way out of this. I'm like watching it going, okay. And then the writer, Rob, comes around again. He's Biba's fine, by the way. I hope I made that clear. The cube thing, all that's good. It just, they placed the cube down in the living room and then just came back up. So R goes back to the island because he's, and then he sees everyone there and he just starts laughing. And I was like, all right, that's good. You're laughing, I'm laughing. We're on the same page. Everyone's naked. You find this funny. He comes home and this is getting to the end of this. This is getting to the, maybe the part where I don't even need the notes because the main last bit of this is the party. And the party is hilarious. But for now, he comes home and he sees alien android lady. And they talk for a bit. And she basically tells him, I want a relationship. I've got two kids. They're a handful. I went all this way to get you to be my baby daddy. That's essentially it. This movie's so stupid. And he goes for it. He asks her, he's like, can you make this food for me? I think he says, I wrote beef dick. I don't know what the hell he says. It's a language barrier thing. But it definitely sounded like beef dick. And I was like, okay. And then she, you know, her stomach opens up and she makes food in it. And then comes out and he's like, this is the best beef dick I've ever had. And then they do this dancing around thing. And they're like touching each other. They're talking about being in a relationship. She's like, I've got these two bratty kids, but look at these boobs. And they're not flesh boobs. They're the robot boobs, but they're big old boobs and you're interested. And he's like, you know? So they're dancing around. Every time they kind of touch each other, the screen goes all green, like psychedelic green. It kind of looks cool, but terrible at the same time. And they're dancing. And she made him tea, like out of her fingers, which is funny. She magics up this teacup and then shoots out tea from one of her fingers. And he's like, I need cream. And she takes the other finger and makes cream come out. And then he's like, the perfect woman. And I'm like, okay. This is not going to be good when Biba comes back. And Biba comes back. Just as I'm thinking that, she comes back. She goes back from her house to R's. And Biba catches R cuddling his alien robot. And she tells him off. She freaks out. She tells him off and she's telling her off. And she's like, you ain't no woman. You just are metal and shit. And you ain't no man. And she starts taking off her clothes. She's like, look at this. And he's like, Biba, don't do that. And he's like, I'm going to put your clothes back on. She's like, I'm flesh. I've got stuff you can grab. And the alien android's like, hey, yeah, right. And then it's like, you know, yelling and stuff like that. But the alien android just goes, meh, meh, kind of stuff back to her. And then the kids come out and they're like, hey, we're going to be sneaky kids. We're going to put this monster, alien toy monster thing in your purse and then sneak back out. We're going to pretend to sleep. The alien mother comes in to see him. And they're all sleeping, but they're like floating up because they can't sleep on the ground. They got to float, right? So they're floating, pretending they're sleeping, but the alien mother's like, I know what you did. And at the same time, Photo Tony comes around. Photo Tony this whole time has been taking pictures. He took pictures of the finger and went back to his office and was like, hey, here's the finger and the meat. that turn to sparkles. They look at the picture and it's all black and white and looks terrible and looks like he just took a picture of meat that was ground up. And the boss is laughing at him. He's like, "Photo Tony." I don't know if he talks that way, but I'm just going to say, "Photo Tony, you're insane. You're stupid. Ha 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 ha." Pretty much laughing at him. Photo Tony lives next to R. And he knows about this cuddling. He knows about this stuff because he can hear it. He's like, "I'm going to take some pictures." So he takes some pictures, but R comes in and he blocks with a hand. And he's like, "No, Photo Tony, don't do that." And the pictures are going, so he like covers it up with his curtain. He's like, "You shouldn't look in here, you peeping Tom." And Biba's getting all naked. And this alien thing, it's not good. So Photo Tony's like, "I got pictures of the alien. I'm going to show this to my boss so he can't laugh at me again." So he goes in his Photo Tony hut and he just like gets the pictures developed. That's what Photo Tony's interested in. Well, the monster toy is in B's purse. Keep this in mind. This is the monster that went very small and got really, really big all of a sudden. Well, B is like, "I can't have you come to my house again to just be outside smoking in the car. You have your spaceman shit here. I'm leaving." So she goes home and she puts the purse down in her family house and they're having a big dinner. And that alien monster toy ends up becoming huge. And this is where alien monster wreaks havoc everywhere. And the first thing it does is it goes toward the kitchen, sees some flowers, and just wants to like play with the flowers, wants to touch the flowers, but it has this tongue thing that comes out. By the way, the monster looks horrible. Not horrible as in scary, as in like they had no budget kind of thing. So this is, it looks pretty god awful, but it's pretty well done at this point. It's pretty funny. It's very entertaining. This part, the party part, flipped me. The first time I watched this, I went, "Wow, this is bizarre, boring," and the only good part was when the man boobs came out. Because let's face it, there was a lot of talking. It was slow. Then you get to the monster party, and the monster starts raising havoc. Hell, all heck breaks loose. Because it's trying to smell these flowers in the kitchen, and the two girls in the kitchen, one was the girl with the headphones on, there's some other girl in there. They have flowers and the tongue comes out and it's blah, 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 doing that thing. And the tongue's long and it's like one of these, you know, you've seen them, you know, tentacle kind of things, right? That's what it's kind of reminding of. So I get why these ladies would get a little bit uncomfortable. So they take a butcher knife to cut that tongue out. They're like, "We're not going to get, you know, our Jimmy's rustled today," kind of thing. And that's not good because it starts spitting out all this bile shit, blood and gunk and stuff. And it starts like going in on these girls and they fall over all dead and stuff. It gets everywhere is all I'm saying. And B comes in, she's freaking out and she like gets all this stuff shot on her too. And she falls down. I think they all faint or something. Maybe one of them dies. And then the monster goes into the dining room. And this is where everybody's at. Grandpa's over there playing the accordion. He's just having a good old time. He's playing the accordion the entire time. He's got his shades on. He can't see. He can hear, but he doesn't care. He just enjoys playing his accordion. And one of the best parts is he stops and he takes a drink of wine when it gets really havocy. And he puts the wine down and keeps playing. And you're like, "Oh, okay. Good job, Grandpa." Well, obviously, everyone's like, "This isn't good." The alien comes down. Photo Tony goes to their house for some reason. I think he's got a thing for B. I'm not sure. But he also has his camera. And the camera goes flashing and it's making the fucking monster go out of its mind while it's climbing down the stairs. How you say it? I think you say going down the stairs. You climb up the stairs. But either way, it's going down the stairs and then it goes into the dining room. Photo Tony hides, right? And he's got the camera. So he's like, "I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to be as famous as Peter Parker, you know? I'm taking pictures of an alien or a guy in an alien suit that doesn't really even look like an alien." He's taking pictures. That's going on. The accordion's playing. There's a guy who grabs a shotgun and shoots the monster. And the monster just collapses like boom down. and he gets up on the table and he's walking across the table, you know, doing the low hunched over thing. Just like, am I going to have to shoot him one more time? And the funny part about that is there's this lady, he tramples over some glass and she's grabbing the glass and she's like getting out of the way because she's like, this is our good glass. What are you doing? Walking on our table. He's like, I've got a shotgun. I got to kill this monster if it comes back up. Well, it comes back up after it grows teeth on its hands and it's not happy because it grabs that motherfucker by the head and twists his head off and like it pops off. And the head goes flying and falls into a punch bowl. And the head looks up and the head's like talking to the lady. And he goes, I'm sorry about your glass. And he dies immediately. The monster gets up and it's like a horror story now. And he's popping people's head. He gets his tongue back and he grabs someone by the neck and pops their head off that way. He kills someone. He smashes some guy with his foot. His head gets smashed, but it's all like... where the head gets crunched up and stands up and is like, I'm here, but I'm going to die in a second. So he falls over. It's very Beetlejuice-like. It reminded me of Beetlejuice in a way. Just the look of the monster, the chaos of the situation, very cheap version of Beetlejuice where there's only one monster and the rest of the movie's kind of shit. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket and the accordion keeps playing. The accordion guy, just going with it. Now, the people do try to fight him off, but it's not really working very well. So they're running towards the windows, but what they don't know is the windows are barred. So they get to the windows and they're trying to push them open and stuff, but they're barred because they've got these like nice intricate designs on the outside, but it's like metal, so it's holding everything in. So these people are screwed. B gets up and everyone's dying left and right, you know, falling over, trying to kill this monster. And B comes in and is freaking out. And that's when R rushes over and finally goes to B's house, comes in and shoots some sort of thing at the monster. And the monster gets really, really small and disappears. And he's like, I saved the day. And B turns around and she's got gunk all over herself and there's like just chaos and people whining and, you know, an accordion's still going. And B slaps the shit out of him. It's like, you son of a... And he's like, what's up? And she's like, look at this. Everything's on fire. That's another thing too. I just wrote this down. Well, I didn't just write it down. I just read what I wrote down at the end. The monster shoots fire out of its mouth. And the monster also gas farts on someone. It's very hectic, but the fart knocks this lady out. It's very funny. But the fire comes out like a flamethrower and is burning everything in the room. And during the fire, the recording player, that's the other really funny thing, is he takes a napkin, starts, getting the sweat off of his face and dabbing himself. Someone you caught dabbing or he's drying away the sweat. He does that real quick and then he goes back to playing accordion. That's the best part of this is the accordion player. And when B was there, this is another thing. I'll mention this as well because I kind of just skipped over it looking down at my notes again. What's that thing they put on like women who are going to be at a wedding? In a wedding dress, they have flowers in their hair, like a crown of flowers and white coming down. The monster put that in B's hair. And I was like, oh no, we're going to get tentacle-y here pretty quick. And that's when Robert ran in. And he's like, no, you know. And then she slaps him. He's like, okay. So Robert goes home to confront the aliens. And the alien lady... he's like, okay, I'll reset time. So she touches her stomach and it goes beep, pew, pew, pew kind of thing. And then time gets reset. And we know this because Photo Tony took these pictures. He ran home to Photo Tony's. He got into his dark room. He put him down because he's like, I'm going to be not a millionaire. I think for photos, he'd have a couple $1,000s for that. So he gets in the dark room. He's starting to make his photos come to life by putting it in the water. I don't know how that works. You just soak it and like an image appears magically. Someone explain that to me someday. Baka boy, get on that. I know I could Google it, but I refuse. Okay, so he's doing his thing, but because she's reset time, the photo disappears and it never happened. And no one's dead. The accordion player never had to dry off his face. He just plays accordion still, I'm sure. Everyone's back and everything was reset. Well, B goes back to R's because she's like, this is weird. It feels like everything got reset. I'm going to go check on R, see if he's still spacing out. She goes to the place and Photo Tony's there. His mom's there. The mustache lady's there, you know. I think that's Photo Tony's mom. And they're all looking into R's apartment and there's this orb and it's floating around. And they're all like, okay, weird. Something's not right here. Don't touch the orb. We know better than that. And the orb floats around, then it goes outside of the apartment and up into the sky. And then we see R in space in the orb with the two kids. And the two kids are playing with the monster. The monster is fully grown. And it's like, you know, and they're floating. And then he is in space with his space helmet on, and he's talking, he's narrating into his recording device, kind of like how I am now, and he's doing his thing, he's gotten all spacey, and right behind him is his alien cyborg wife, I guess, so she got what she wanted, she got a father figure for the two brats, they got their monster, she's there, and he's like, I've got my big boobed woman, robot, alien, thing. I've got a helmet and I can record my own thoughts in it. And then it pings him and it's Biba. Biba's like, are you happy now? And he's like, yes. And then it pretty much ends. That's the movie. Last thing I wrote is good credit music. So there you go. Let's see. How am I feeling about this movie? What I was in the threes, pretty solid with the impression. What I like about it, what I dislike about it, it is rather slow at the beginning. There is that good part where you go, okay, there's the bizarre stuff, and then the really bizarre situation with the dream and going to the shrink. Why'd you even talk about that? Shouldn't you be talking about your secluded island situation? That seems, well, they seem about as bizarre as each other. So that was interesting. And I remember watching this in the impression stage. I was watching and I was just not in the mood. I was going, I hate this movie. And it took all the way to that party scene when the first head popped off where I went, holy shit, this is hilarious. And just how bad it is. This is terrible. It is definitely so bad it's good. However, I don't think they did it earnestly. I don't think they tried to make it this bad because they're trying to make a good movie. I think they're making a satire. And the fact that I think they're making a satire and then just satirizing 60s, 70s science fiction, it's even better than just a so bad it's good, enjoyable popcorn flick that you watch every once in a while. It reminds me of every once in a while being late at night watching a terrible sci-fi movie, you know, crabs that cut people in half, stuff like that. And this was really, if it's a satire, it's a really, really good satire. I don't know what they're saying, and I don't know if it was done. No, that they meant to do it this way. They're trying their best, or it's a satire and they're making fun of the genre. Either way, it was enjoyable. It was ridiculous. That last bit in the party was the best part of the thing. And that's at the end. It does feel like a long movie when you're watching. There are some parts where it's like a bunch of talking. But it's pretty easy to follow. Hopefully. Hopefully if you followed whatever the hell I said. And you watch it. And it kind of makes sense. It seems pretty easy to follow though. I enjoyed it. It was weird for weird's sake. I think it was satirizing a genre that they probably enjoyed, something that meant a lot to the filmmakers. As far as ratings go, it's a solid film. It's a solid bad movie that's good. It's a solid satire of other bad movies. It was fun. The music's good. The acting's pretty good. Didn't have any problems with it. And the camera work and all that kind of stuff, all the stuff that you'd be like, film student stuff. It was a pretty good, entertaining movie. I didn't have any problems with it. That's a review portion. That's the weakest link in my thing. I don't know enough cinematic terms to say. I would say it's like eating a good fish. Like, you don't. That make any sense, Baka boy? Gotta get into better positions. I gotta get my thinking cap on. Next time, I gotta drink my IQ enhancing water. So I say this, but it was acceptable, right? It was a fun satire. The best part was at the end when all hell broke loose. The accordion thing made some of the slow parts worthwhile. Everyone getting naked for no reason, the guy laughing. That's where I was like, okay, this is definitely making fun of this. You know, her turning into the cube. Some of the stuff I was like, okay, I don't have time for this. And the first time I watched it, I went, I just don't feel like another bad movie that's actually good. But when it got to that party, I started just like letting go of the pretense, just shedding my skin of being a grumpy, grumpy, fat, middle-aged idiot, and went, okay, there's some fun to be had here. And with that, I would say a solid 3, a hard 3 out of 5. I'd watch this again. And I hope you guys do too. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, give a hard 5 out of 5, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everyone you know. Keep with the triangle plan and listen to the next time a podcast comes out. I'm Casey Kidd, the Kamikaze Kid, blowing up all over this bitch. Take it away, Baka boy. I got into a, burping fit. Baka boy, never feed me cheese. And lasers come at him. Professor. Yeah, B. I eat cheese. Never feed me cheese. Okay. Not before a show. Not ever again. Holy smokes. It's been a rough one. Fucking hey. I told you, don't feed me cheese. Ugh. Never feed me cheese, Baka boy.